Ready to get into the Word this morning? Well, it's a good time to get into the Word every day. Thank you for coming this morning. Those of you watching online. All right, I think I'm too far out here. I don't want to fall out into the audience. Give myself some room. Well, it's as we've said so many times, it's a brand new season. And you ask, you know, what kind of year is going to be? It's really not up to anybody else but yourself what kind of year is going to be. You know, people can prophesy things, declare things. You know, different ministries declare things, and they say this is what God's telling them. And I'm not sure if that's for everybody in the world, but, you know, it's for somebody. And I believe, you know, it depends where you sit, your people come from different camps, as they say, different denomination, different people, and people declare different things. I know different ones in our camp, they'll just say, this is the year for this, and that's the year for that, you know. And, well, people can pray for you, but people cannot make things happen in your life unless you decide what it's going to be like for you. Now, God would want, I believe God, whatever they declare, I believe what they're saying, but, you know, God could tell a different group of people, this is going to be for you and that's going to be for you. But you know, the Bible is full of good stuff, promises, and you can go ahead and start believing God in His Word and say, this is what's going to be for me. And you know, as I mentioned, you know, people can pray for you, but they can't make God's blessings come upon you. You have to declare that's going to be for you. You have to claim it, as you know, if whoever declares it. And so over the years, I've seen different ones declare different things, but it's what you want. What do you want this year? That's the whole thing about it. What do you want to happen in your year? And there's things happening around us everywhere. You can see all the turmoil that's going on because of COVID-19 and you know, the whatever they call them, very different variants that's traveling around, and they say different things, but. You know, you need to pay attention to God's Word more than that, praise God, you know. So, and do everything you can to help out everybody else. And my wife said, if you're sick, even if you're sick, just if you feel a little bit down, you go ahead and stay home. If you're going to have all kinds of symptoms, you're going to scare people. And the first thing, you know, nobody wants to get a cold anyway, if you just had a common cold. But today it seems to be more dangerous to have a common cold. They think you're absolutely widely sick and ready to die. But, you know, it's always good to have precaution and do what you can. Wash your hands, wash your eyes, wash everything. Be clean. Put your mask on. Keep your distance, you know. Don't shake hands. Don't look at anybody. Even your eyes, they say, can transfer that. No, praise God. No, we are believing God. Amen. We're believing God for total redemption. I mean, I'm doing my part, everything in the natural. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if it's funny, but Pastor Ken handed me a paper the other day there and one morning, and I didn't know. I opened the, having my coffee, I opened the page, and here I was, half the page. Roma J. Fisher taking a shot. So I guess I must be the poster boy for Thunder Bay, or District of Thunder Bay. And so, and one lady, you know, she wrote us, or at least actually she wrote and called and gave us a message. You know, she's watching online, not watching online, she watches the programs on television. You know, some people, that's what they do, just watch on television. And I get a kick out of some people. They make me happy. But she says, you know, Roma Fisher, that guy is such a brilliant mind. I can't, you like those kind of people, right? He's over the top. He is ever all these things, you know, they begin to explain to my wife. But that comment about, I am a brilliant mind, I'm going to receive that forever. Amen? No one's ever told me that yet. I'm a brilliant mind, so I believe that. I get the mind of Jesus. And anyway, she said She said, you know, that Pastor Roma, man, he's something else. He teaches things line upon line. He uses scripture. Thank God I use scripture. He said he uses scripture for everything, and he explains different things. And so I appreciate that. I like those kind of partners and friends out there. And so that's what we want. We want. But I'm going to tell you something about this whole thing. You know, Varian there, he listens to every sermon, every little bit of sermon. And that guy, he's a walking encyclopedia with the Word of God. And he'll put on the things, you know, he'll go over the Word over and over and over. He'll cut out all the things, unnecessary things, and he put whatever he needs on there. So let's give Varian a hand of appreciation, because he does an excellent job. I appreciate his work. I don't know if you ever watch our program lately. We try to do the best job. We do a lot of, how do you call that, when we just going through everybody has a part in it, taking a look at it and see what's going on. And so we're doing our part and checking the quality of programming that goes out. And so we have my wife in it, we have Kendra, and we have Pastor Steve, myself, of course, Varian, he'll check it over back and forth. We work on it. And so my wife actually was here last night going over the editing with Varian. So we have different times where we have to do that. And we were taping on Friday. We have to tape a bunch of things on different times. We have to do the commercials and different things. So we have a different schedule than regular days, because you can only work when everybody's available. So that's how we work around here. And you know, the thing about it too, I don't know about you, but these days, although it's gloomy, things are can be bothersome sometimes. Last week I was out doing a funeral of a young man who took his own life in one of the communities. Just a young boy, and my daughter knew of him. And actually, when she traveled on the communities, she does her music workshops and travels with different communities in the north and around the area. And she was just heartbroken to hear about this young fellow. Actually, a relative of ours, a second cousin of hers. And kids, they need hope. They need hope. And so we're praying for those kids, believing that they'll receive hope. And got home on that Friday. I think, I can't remember what day it was, but anyway, the next day, 8:30 in the morning when I got home, had another call from the funeral chapel here and said, can you come and do another funeral? That night I got another call about midnight. So, I mean, it goes on and on. And but I woke up one morning and said, what's happening here? You know? So, and I don't know. I know Anita's family, they had a death in their family over the weekend, someone who has been sick. But for some reason, I think some people just, they give in, give a lot, you know. But we believe that the Word of God will lift you up and bring you up. And no matter what's happening around you, it doesn't have to touch you. You know, things can be happening. You know, the psalmist says, 10,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. And so we want you to believe God that no matter what happens, as my wife said, we have a comforter that can help you and strengthen you, and believe for his intervention in your own life. And you got to learn to be your own best cheerleader. Yeah. Cheer yourself on and encourage yourself. And I do. I mean, I if the devil talks to me, I talk back to him. Don't let the devil talk to you without you talking back to him. Amen. You know, they say don't talk to yourself. Well, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the devil. Because anything evil that's coming to you, that's trying to scare you or intimidate you in any way possible, you know that's the devil. You know, he'll put things in your mind, but he'll try to tell you that's your own thinking. But really, that's not your thinking. We have the mind of Christ. the scriptures are there, and purposely use the word and cover yourself with the word of God. Amen? Let's go ahead up. Let's stand up together and pray for the service, for the word to go forth in a powerful way. Father, we lift up our voices. We lift up our hands. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Although there are darkness everywhere, you said that we'll become brighter and brighter. We'll become more attractive and more, the doors will open for us so that we can be a witness for the dynamic power of the Lord Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. And so I pray for every one of my family and friends in this service and those that are watching online that they will be a dynamo power with the word of God in their mouth. I thank you, Lord God, for every single family, every single household. We cover them with the blood of Jesus and we declare them to be free from any contamination of evil. In the name of Jesus, we resist the devil. We command him to get your hands off every family member in every home. In the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Father, I'm asking you by the power of the Holy Spirit to release your power to heal and to destroy every work of evil. In the name of Jesus, angels, go forth and cause protection and cause the prayers to come forth in the name of Jesus. So we pray as the days go by, I pray mighty signs and wonders in every home, in every life. The power of God shall be will be demonstrated because we declare it in every life in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, you can be seated. If you turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. I know this is the beginning of the year. These brand new weeks that's coming on. In this 2022, by the time people might look at that, it might be a little bit later. But we need to see what God sees about our lives. And we need to say what God says about our lives. You know, you need to declare in your life, different calendars have different things about what's going to be, but we need to be on God's calendar. Amen? And say, this is what God says about me. And so, we're talking about what do you believe? That's the question. What do you believe? And we're going to talk about the confession of our faith. Hebrews chapter 4:14, the New King James Version says, seeing that we have a high priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. You know, you got to confess the way you want it, or the way you want your year to be, or your day, not to confess the way it is. You cannot confess what's happening. I mean, you need to talk about the happenings of it. You know, in the book, in the fourth chapter, the book of Acts, the disciples were attacked. They got beaten. They were bleeding. They had different wounds. And they went back to their family of faith people. And they told them. They began to explain what happened to them. They explained they got beaten. They explained they went to jail. And they explained that they were chained and they were held in custody and so on. And they talked about that. But then they explained, they began to pray and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servant with all boldness, we may speak your word. Now it's okay to talk about something that's negative in a way to inform people, to tell about your situation. You know, a lot of people, they get so, you can't even say anything around them. You say, that's not a bad confession. A bad confession is when you say things and you actually believe it. That's what a bad confession is. And, when you talk about sharing things because you have to, then that's not a bad confession. You're just trying to tell about a situation that's going on that needs to be prayed about. And if you don't acknowledge that, then how are you going to pray about something? So, I learned that from Brother Hagin. That's why I'm telling you this. The introduction, your beliefs are demonstrated in what you say. Your words reveal what you really believe about things, about the conditions of life and what's going to happen. You know, like I mentioned, you got to mention about what's going on and what they're saying. But also you have to say, here's what God says about it. And here's what I believe about it. So what your words reveal what you believe about things. But we need to speak positively about what's the Bible's perspective on it, what God says about it. So here at the end of our verse of Scripture, Hebrews 4:14, it says, hold fast our confession. You know, you have to hold fast to a good confession of faith because the devil is trying to steal from you. He's trying to take from you. He's trying to make you believe what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe what you see is really what you're going to get. He wants you to confess what's going on around you is only what's going to be happening always. But that's not the truth. You see, if we just live in the natural, you know, Brother Hagin used to say, if you stay in the spirit, you will always overcome the devil. But if you go into the live in the soul realm, you know, that's your thinking. That's your unnatural thinking part. And talk about how you feel about life all the time rather than what God says. Now, you can change how you feel if you start changing your mind and start seeing what God sees. Then your feelings begin to change. Feelings can change about what you see. You know, concerning stress, you know, science says it's really how you look at things. People get stressed out because of how they look at something. It's when you look at something from a positive perspective, then your body starts to react in a way that's going to be good for you, you know. And so over here, Paul says something to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 to 13. The Amplified Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, part of faith is confessing. Because that's the way faith works. Faith works by saying. Faith works by what you are declaring. Faith works by what you're professing. Faith works by the statements you make. Faith works by expression of words with words. He says, fight the good fight of faith. I'm reading the Amplified. In the conflict with evil, take a hold of the eternal life which you were called and for which you made a good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. He's talking to this young man called Timothy. You know, he had to say the right things according to the Word of God. He had to tell those people that God had called them because some of those people weren't really receiving him. He had to say, here's what God says in his word about the calling, and here's what God wants me to do. He said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and in the presence of Jesus Christ who made the good confession in his testimony before Pontius Pilate. Jesus had to make a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And we need to stand strong and hold fast if we're facing at Pontius Pilate or we're facing the situations that are, you know, in conflict with what we believe. And this Timothy was facing situations in conflict of what he believed. And so we need to hold fast a good confession of faith, no matter what we face in life. When Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ faced the opposition, they didn't back down. It's easy to make a negative comment when things are not going so well. When things look bad, many people tend to back off from the good confession of faith. There will be times when your faith will be tested and you will have to make a good confession of faith. And when things differ from the reality you're facing, you need to say what God says in the face of death, in the face of dire need, in the face of incredible odds against you. You need to go to the Bible and say, this is what God says about who I am. I am a child of God. This is God's word. God protects his own. God will fight for me. This is what God says about my home. This is what God says about my marriage. Your marriage might be falling apart. This is what God says about my children. Your children might be just right out of it. But in the face of opposition, you need to say what the Word of God says about you. And if you begin to look at the natural, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. You know, don't go and talk to the discouraging family. Let's look at the life of David and Goliath. And you know the story about David and Goliath. Everyone here that's been in children's ministry. How many of you were brought up in some kind of children's ministry program? Let me see some of your hands. Some of you here were brought up in the children's program. And, you know, it's good to be taught. I was taught when I was a kid. You know, I grew up in a Catholic church. They taught us about different stories. At least I learned about David and Goliath. I learned about Mary and the donkeys and camels and stuff. I learned about a lot of things, you know, about Christmas and Easter. I mean, we learned a lot of stuff, and we had catechism. I mean, a lot of those things were just, you know, Catholicism, but a lot of things with Bible. But even then, I knew how to, you know, spit out the sticks. And so as a kid, I had to learn lots about spitting out sticks. And so, you know, the story of Goliath, David and Goliath, is, you know, it's the good and the bad. It's the small guy against the big guy. It's a good guy against the big guy, the monster, the tyrant. It's good against evil. It's God against the devil. I mean, it's a good classic story. If you haven't, we're going to give you a chance to read that today by giving you scripture. When David spoke those words, he said, today, he's little David, this is a young boy, a teenager, talking to a champion, world champion. He says, today, I will cut off your head and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. It was not his natural weaponry that made him overcome that giant. It was his words or his confession of faith. He spoke a good confession of faith in the midst of a hard situation, a dire time of need. But notice, he was adamant and sure that God would back him up. He spoke the outcome and not the very present situation he was facing. He didn't say, oh, that giant's so big, I'm afraid, I'm just a little guy. And so many people are defeated because they fail to make a good confession of faith during a hard place and a hard time. Let's go over here, 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45 to 47. I'm reading the New King James Version for you New King James guys. You know, you got the old King James and the young King James. I believe there's a lot of people here with the New King James. But we've got a couple of old King James people. And Billy loves the old King James. Hey, Billy? Praise God. And different ones, you know. Derek loves the old King James. He reads that poetically. He loves the poetic. You know, I like it. Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying, but I read it. And it's good to study. That's why it's good, you know, those of you who need to study the King James. Let's go ahead and read verse 45. And David said to the Philistine. You know, David said to the Philistine. Everybody said, David said?
David said.
To the Philistine. So that Philistine represented the devil, the enemy in his camp. He spoke to it or to him. He said, you come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Verse 46. This day, you know, he's talking faith here. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcass to the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Everybody say, my battle,
my battle
Say, my battle is of the Lord. No, it's the Lord. It's the Lord's battle. He said, I'm going to fight for you. You know, so many of us don't understand about covenant. Covenant, God cut a covenant with us through Jesus. And Jesus, through Jesus, because Jesus will never break the covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. He made sure that he made a covenant with us, with his son, and that blood covers us. And so he said, you know, when you make a covenant, whatever is yours belongs to them, and whatever is theirs belongs to us. And anybody that comes against you, I'm going to come against them. You remember that. I want you to remember that when you go into trouble. They said, this is not my battle. I'm not fighting this alone. My wife had to remind me one day. I said, oh. You know, I'm strong here. You look at me. Oh, he's strong, man. But over there at home, man, just like a little, you know, you ever see those, they make those jokes about these men who has the flu and just like all hell is breaking loose. My wife had to tell me, get up. You poor thing. No, she didn't say that. He says, get up. You're not fighting this alone anyway. You know? So I just pulled myself up, washed my eyes. I got up and I started to act like I'm a child of God. He said, you got to believe your own preaching. You know, understand this. You know, I'm up here. I have the anointing on me. You know, but I don't have the anointing when I'm out there, right? So I'm buying cheese at the local delicatessen over there, and I'm just me. There's no anointing there to buy cheese, but the anointing is there. When the anointing is there, oh man, you're strong. I mean, you're declaring with everybody else in the front row that Jesus is, you know, your shepherd, and then you get home to your cold house. Nobody's there, and the devil speaks to you, I'm going to get you. Ooh. That's the time you need to wake up and rise up against the devil. I don't know about you, but the devil seems to visit me about 4 o'clock in the morning. Or 3 o'clock something, he'll tell me different things. And I recognize it's the devil. I get up and start dancing around my bed in the dark. If you see me sometimes, if you would have seen me, you said, what's wrong with this guy? But Wigglesworth used to do that. Man of faith, he just go ahead and run around in his bed first thing in the morning. I mean, you got to have faith to run around in the bed. One time, you know, in the service, there was a big, you know, Holy Ghost, sometimes interruption, right? You ever notice that? Some service, yeah, Holy Ghost interrupted. Ooh, Holy Ghost. I just jumped up, started running. And I just gasped for air, just passed right out. I thought, people say, oh, he's full of the Holy Ghost. No, I was just didn't have any air. Yeah, I got up and danced so fast and just about passed out and fell down. I don't know. I mean, everybody thinks it's all, you know, just you're just woo. I mean, sometimes you have to get up and just do it. Right? Pass out for Jesus. How many of you want to pass out for Jesus this morning? Come on, Maxine, are you watching this morning? And all your folks out there? You know, just get up and start dancing, man, you know? Kick the cheese out. Okay. So what does confession mean? You know, we talk about confession. The word confession itself comes from the original Greek word homologeo. It literally means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. To say the same thing basically as God says it. Homologeo, the first part of that word is homo, which means the same as, and the word legio means to speak. And hence, to speak the same as God. And that's what Father Abraham did, or God caused him to say the same thing as he did, when God changed his name. He said, I'm Abraham, I'm the father of many nations, but he never had any children. Then when God changed his confession, God has to change your mouth. Right? Before things change in your life. Change your mind. So, Abraham did, and he caused a nation to rise from his very own loins when it was impossible in the natural. And you know, you could see that in different in the Bible. God wants us to say the same things as He says it about us, although they might not even be real in your life. And I've heard testimonies over the years about different ones who was believing God for something, and they start saying things, you know, out of natural, and it seems so strange to say things when it's absolutely not so in the natural. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. So if you're feeling strong, you know, the psalmist says, let the weak say I'm strong. Say I'm strong. Everybody say, I'm strong. We need to say that. When you say that, there's a, you know, they've done scientific studies. When you say something positive, something happens in your brain. And it starts to, you know, start, those little, whatever they call them, they just start rushing around. Just get to work here. whatever they're called. But when you're depressed, you know, you're just kind of moping around. I noticed that if you're feeling a little down, get up and do something. There's many times I've tested myself. I'm just feeling so weak and so down. I'd go out and do something. Just go out and shovel their neighbor's door, whatever. Shovel down something. Take the dogs for a walk. Go do something for someone. And then you pick yourself up. So one part of faith is confession. One part of faith is making a confession or speaking in line with the Word of God. You know, it's important to speak the right words, especially in our prayers. And when you pray, pray right. Make sure you're praying right. Ask yourself, what I'm praying about, is that Bible? That's the way I was taught. That's what Brother Hagin taught us. Is that what you're praying? Is that Bible? Is that just thinking, your thinking? Say, for instance, some folks, they'll pray for healing for somebody, and they say, if it be thy will. Well, then that's not Bible praying. If you're going to pray for healing, don't pray, if it be thy will. The Bible says healing belongs to us. And if you're saying that, I don't want you to pray for me. You don't want people, certain people praying for you. They'll kill you. They say, Lord, heal him if it's your will. If not, let him die. You don't want that, right? So here's something. You need to say the right words. You see, God hears a cry of your faith, of your words. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You must believe that God is, and that He's a rewarder. Here's how it all started in your faith journey here on earth. As every believer, they made a good confession of faith of Jesus when they started out in this journey. Everyone here, at some point, you made a faith confession about Jesus, that Jesus is Savior of the world. Amen. And Jesus is my Savior. Wash me, and I'll follow you the rest of my life. And so that's the confession of faith. And everything else in your life, whether it's healing, Holy Ghost, whether it's answered prayer for your family, whether it's prosperity, success, whatever it is, will have to be the same way as you did when you got saved. It has to be a confession of faith. It says here in Romans 10:8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We preach the word of faith. What is the word of faith? The word of faith is the Bible, because the Bible is the only place where you can get faith. Amen. When you hear the Bible, faith is automatically there. Faith is there wherever the word is preached. Faith is there. Yeah. You know, I mean, things don't happen overnight, but they eventually will. It seems like it someday. And the Bible says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your neighbor's mouth, you'll phone up somebody. If I phone up Pastor Ken, Pastor Ken, I would like you to confess for me, Jesus is Lord. No, you have to, you know, it's like, you know, the Bible says, anybody sick among you, let him pray. Let him sing songs. If anybody's happy, let them sing songs. So I phoned Pastor Ken. I'm happy today, Pastor Ken. Can you sing a song? No, he'll say, sing you one song. Well, he probably wouldn't say that, but he probably would think of it. Yeah, I'd be crazy if I did that. So, you know, you have to do your own singing, right? And let me just say this, sometimes you need to do your own praying. I mean, so we all need help. And I don't mind you praying for me. Pray for me, praise God. Go ahead. But I don't need you to pray for me every single... When you got a crisis, yes, ask someone to help you. If you're in real dire need, yes, ask someone to help you. But that's not how you live every day. Pray for my toenail. Pray for, you know... No, just you pray yourself. Or cut that toenail. So if thou shalt confess with your mouth, everybody say my mouth, the Lord Jesus. So you have to confess Jesus as Lord by your mouth and believe in your heart. Your heart, what is your heart? Your heart is your spirit on the inside. When you're believing with your heart, it means you don't believe with your feelings. That's one way to say it. So I just feel God healed me this morning. Wow, why do you say that? Well, I just had this strange feeling come over me. What did you feel? Like a little wind of something, and then quiver came all over me, and woo! And then you leave here, and then the devil attacks, and you say, oh, I guess I must not have been healed. No, you stand with the Word. Don't stand with feelings. Stand with the Word of God. Believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is an inclusive word, which means, you know, deliverance, healing, prosperity, whatever it is you need. Salvation is it all belongs to us. Salvation is just not, you know, when I die, I'll go to heaven. See, when you get saved, you don't just get forgiven your sins. When you get saved, your whole spirit changes. You're a different person on the inside. You're not the same person. So we confess Jesus as Lord, and then he's our high priest in this life. Jesus is our high priest. Right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's listening for your prayer, and he's looking for your tithe, and you bring your tithe, he blesses you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is your very high priest. He's a high priest forever. Like Melchizedek, the Bible, Jesus, the Hebrew says. Forever. And he received the tithe, and he blesses you when you bring it. And like we talked about the tithe doesn't determine your harvest. Your giving determines your harvest. The tithing stands before your obedience and your faith in God. That I believe God. You're declaring, I'm believing God, I could do more with my 90% than I would if I was on my 100%. And the devil is rebuked on your behalf by God himself. Amen. That's powerful when you do that. And because you have a covenant. Jesus said, whatever belongs to me belongs to you. You know that, remember that story about the prodigal son and he came back? Yeah. And that one boy, he's mad at the other guy, he's mad at his brother, he went out and spilled everything, he spent everything. But he says about the boy who went out, you know, he went out, I don't know what he did the partying up and everything and spent time with prostitutes and did all kinds of stuff, then he got broke. And he was sick and tired and depressed. And he said, I'm going back home to my father. And he got home with his father and they threw a big party. Oh, they're happy. But that boy who stayed home with his dad all day, he was not happy. He said, this boy of yours, he didn't say my brother, this boy, but come on home, come on, let's party up. He said, Dad, I've been with you all this time and you never throw me one party. He said, son, all that I have is yours. You're gonna have a party every night. You can just party up every night, have a little goat anytime you want. So you can have your little goat tonight if you want to. So here we make confession of faith about salvation. What belongs to you? The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, the New King James says, as you therefore have received Jesus. Ask yourself, how did you receive Jesus? I did it by confessing. I did it by believing with my heart. And so it says, the second part of it in Colossians 2:6, so walk in him. Walk with your confession. Walk with your believing. You don't have to see it, just say it. Amen. You don't have to know it in the natural. Believe what it says in the Word. So trust Jesus as your high priest. Because he's, as Scripture here's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, as our high priest, he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus, right now, right this very now, he's the high priest of your confession. In other words, whatever you declare will happen in your life. You will have what you say. And you need to say what the Bible says about you. Don't say, I guess we'll just have to stay home for the rest of the year because of COVID. You know, I was watching in the news the other day that some people went over somewhere and they got stuck. And we personally know people who get stuck. But some people went over, one person went over to Putin-Cana. I guess that's somewhere near Mars. And they went to Punta Cana, and they got stuck. They said, man, this is a nightmare to get stuck. I mean, imagine that. You don't believe in Jesus, and you get stuck in Punta Cana? You'd like to stay that right away, right? So it's not fun if you don't have any money in Punta Cana. So Jesus makes good in what we say. Jesus watches over your word to perform what you say. The scripture, because, you know, not only that, but the Bible says the devil's watching on the sideline, watching what you're going to say, because you give him license of what you say negatively in your life. Amen. You open the door, just like Job did. And he's waiting on the sidelines, this devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, New Living says, stay alert, watch out for that great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's trying to devour you, but he can't find you because you're in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Under the blood of Jesus. He's looking for you. He can't find you. That's why you got the armor on. The Bible says that God puts a canopy over us. So when you're walking in the mall, you got a canopy. Invisible blood of Jesus over you, angels around you, and you're walking through. Remember that, because he said he encamped, he puts angels around you to watch over you wherever you go. So never speak negative. Don't speak negative. Don't talk negative. You may give the enemy license to operate in your life. Job chapter 1, verse 25 says, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. The Bible says that this man, Job, he would say things, oh, my kids might have, you know, did this, my kids might have done that. So he offered offerings and, you know, different things every day. He said, my kids might have been, you know, having a hard time. And so he made a bad confession. The Bible says his fear opened the door by what he said. He was afraid by opening the door. But here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1:12, that God is watching over his word. The Lord says to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word on you in your life. So God, when we say what God's word says, declare what God's word says, God's releasing his anointing. He's releasing his blessing. Many have died saying this, someday I will be healed. I learned that long ago. Someday I'm going to be healed. I've seen people in my own, very close to me. Someday I'll be healed. I know I'll be healed someday. And they died. They say, well, I'm confused. Well, why'd they die? They were believing God. Well, you know, people shouldn't die in middle age. You know, God promised us long life. Healthy life. But, you know, I mean, of course, everybody has to decide on their own, you know, and evaluate that. We need to live right. I put on the scripture yesterday, Proverbs 12:28, the Bible says, in the pathway of the righteous is life. Living for God is living in the right path where life is. And there's no death. There's no death in the pathway of the righteous. That's what it says, Proverbs 12:28. So living for God will prolong your life. The scripture, just read the Proverbs. It says it'll prolong your life, living for God. So, I mean, you know, there's no quick and fast answer about things. Everybody has to know. We need to follow the Lord. And if we're wrong, admit it. And if we don't know, admit it too and ask for help. Jesus said, you can have what you say. So, you know, I was looking at something here, you know, Acts 14. There's a guy in Acts 14, he was sick. The Bible says that same man heard Paul speak and he had faith to be healed, but he's still sitting there sick. And men of faith told us, for years, he said, you know, you can have faith in your heart for something and die without ever expressing that blessing in your heart. You can die with healing inside you because you've never released your faith. You've never confessed it. You're too afraid to confess something because the devil might hear you. Well, start at least talking to yourself about it. Don't start declaring things, you know, superficially. Start saying things in your own closet. And start prophesying to yourself in your own closet. And start saying things. Tell yourself. That's where you need to practice it. The Bible says, you know, the people who praise God in their closet are ready to praise God inside the church. Amen. So we don't have to pump you up. You know, the praise team and Lisa and them don't have to sing you into some kind of a crazy woo-hoo-hoo. No, you're ready to sing. No, you're ready to sing because you're ready. You come out of your prayer closet. You've been praying every day. You're ready to praise God, and you want to be there to just declare the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. What does God say about this year? What does His Word declare about your life? And start declaring that today. Start saying what He says. I'll get up in the morning, I say this is going to be an awesome day. I learned this from a man I prayed with. And one day I went to a prayer meeting with this man. He held great prayer meetings over the years. And I was talking about the Lord. We were talking about me and the Lord were talking about healing ministry. I was traveling. And I'm praying about it and just talking to the Lord in my prayer time. In my hotel room, I walked into the service. There was a number of us in there. And he points at me. He says, healing. You're a healer. God said, you're a healer. I see healing to the left and the right. You're a healer. Then I saw him in the hallway after. He said, hey, healer. And I was asking God about some questions about healing in the healing ministry. And he said, when you get up in the morning, you need to start declaring how that day is going to begin. What's going to happen today? You declare that day what's going to happen. You start making faith declarations in the morning. And you seize your day before the devil gets involved in it. That's why people in the years before, men of God, people of God, would go to God the first thing in the morning. They don't go to their Facebook. They don't go to Instagram. They go to God first, the first thing. And I would do like he says, I would do the same thing. Lord, I want to thank you. This is going to be an awesome day. I thank you, Lord God, this is going to be a wonderful day. This is going to be a beautiful day, a fantastic day. This is going to be a supernatural day. This is going to be a day of blessing. This is going to be a supernatural operation. I want to thank you, Lord God. Favor is open for me. I declare healing in my life. I declare things are opening up for me, open doors. I believe I have divine connections today. I believe the angels of God are getting things ready for me right now, opening the door. I believe the devil has been bound because I say it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I begin to declare it. I begin to say what the Word of God says. I believe I'm a blessing. I was praying. I was driving down the road on Cumberland Street going to the bank. Thank God it's happy when you go to the bank. Every Thursday, thank God. Not every Thursday, but every second Thursday. You know, I'm like the man who says, you know, he gets paid and takes a check from his mail slot, says, I'm more than a conqueror. Because you feel strong when you get paid. Then his wife grabs that thing and says, I'm more than a conqueror. Praise God. You know, so I was declaring, I said, thank you, Lord. I'm praying. If there's somebody who needs help today, I'm ready to pray. You better watch out. You pray like that. So I'm walking. I'm blessing God. I'm praying for different things as I go down the street. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for this. Praying for the police. I'm praying for everybody. Thank God. I just say praise God for our people here. And I stopped, went into the bank. I stopped the car and I'm just idling. I'm trying to find change to get into. So I don't get a ticket. I don't like tickets. So I'm stopping and there's two people coming there. They recognize me sitting in the car. I don't want anybody to recognize me. You want a privacy when you want to go banking. Especially if people don't ask for money. So anyway, I got off the car and I said, hey, how you guys doing? And they didn't look familiar to me. They just said hi to me. Hey, they said, hey, Pastor Roma. I said, hi, how are you? You know, people say that all the time. I don't recognize their face, but they recognize me. So I said, how you doing? You know, just like we're best buddies, praise God. Hi, how are you? How you doing? You guys doing okay? Yeah, oh, yeah, we're doing good. And I looked at the girl. She, you know, she says, you know, hey, you know, I can tell she wants to ask me something. I thought maybe she's going to want money from me. I just had money in my pocket and had a check in my hand. I was trying to declare which one should I give them, the small bill or the change or the large bill. So anyway, I looked at the friend, and the friend had two big black eyes, just like a raccoon. Oh, man, this is a horrible situation. I said, what happened to you? I was acting like, you know, like my old buddies like I used to be. That's what we do back then. Hey, what's happened? You got black eyes, didn't you? Well, he was not... You know, this is how I am. I'm just slipped back to my old ways, my old style. You know, you ever go back to your old style? You go back home, you're 60 years old, and you're still the baby. Eh? There's Roma. You go home, you're still the baby, right? Anyway, so we talked a bit, but she says, I just wonder if you could pray for us. Pray for me, my friend. We were Christians. I was a Christian serving God. But I got caught up in this lifestyle. Now I'm on the street. I'm on drugs. And, you know, to begin to say, and my friend here, you know. Yeah, he said, I was saved too one time. I confessed Jesus and I'm on the street. Looking around, anybody looking at me. So you want, she said, can I take your hand? Well, I said, think a little bit first. Should I take your hand? So, and then I'm just in front of the bank, and then some people walking there, and my banker comes, looking at me. And so I put my hands on those people, and I declare the power of God, freedom, blessing. Father, I cover them in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom of deliverance for these two in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they disappeared. No, I'm just kidding, though. No, they, you know, they were so happy. I was happy. You know, we need to be a blessing and make the declarations this year. How's your day going to be? Well, Yesterday, let me tell you, it was pretty bad yesterday. You know, well, how's your finances? Well, COVID started eating up my finances. Started declaring, I got more than enough. I got more than enough. I have good friends. I got family. Started declaring things are working out for me. You know, things are going to be better for me from now on. Everybody stand up. Things are looking up for me today. Doors are opening up for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm declaring freedom from any kind of illness, that no sickness will strike me. I walk in the freedom. You know, Brother Hagin, you said, thank God for healing, but divine health is better. Thank God. I mean, we all fight symptoms at some point in our lives. We said, no, I don't receive that. Are you trying to give me that? No, I'm not taking it. I'm declaring my freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed or not? Are you the King's kid? Glory to God. Amen. We are blessed in every way possible. Glory to God. Lift that hand and bless Him. Father, we praise You. In the name of Jesus, we declare the blessings of God. We declare, Lord God, freedom from bondages. We declare prosperity and health this year. We declare every part of our body to be healed. We declare financial blessings. We declare freedom and blessing for our family and friends. Hallelujah. We declare that this church has every need met. We declare that our ministry is blessed. That our ministry is far-reaching, more reaching more people than ever. Thank You that we have more television programs opening up. Thank You, Lord God, that we have more partners to give so that we could do more. I pray that these people are generous givers. They're loyal people. And their people are harvesting their blessing. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for the blessing of the Lord Jesus, that we will never lack one thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just one quick minute, Father, in the name of Jesus, if you're watching on television right now, in the name of Jesus, watching online, and you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is the time you said, Jesus, I want what they have. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I remember the time I did it. I just got born again. The Bible says you need to declare in your life with your mouth, Jesus, the Savior of the world, and that He's your Savior. And invite Him in your life and say, Jesus, come in my life. Wash me clean with Your blood. And I'll be whiter than snow. I'll never be the same. He'll change your heart, change your life. And if you're born again and you've been away from God, just say, God, I'm coming back. I'm walking with You starting right now. That's how simple it is. I'm turning away from my sin. And I'm going to walk with You. If you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come in, He'll do that. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Wednesday. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.